old-fashioned hard work. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Wonder if you should get tested for colorectal cancer? Well, it's the second leading cancer killer in the U.S., and screening helps prevent it. So if you're 50 or older, it's time. Even if it doesn't run in your family, most often, colorectal cancer occurs in people with no family history. And it doesn't always cause symptoms, especially early on. So don't wait for symptoms to get tested. Screening helps prevent the disease by finding precancerous polyps so they can be removed. Remove the polyp, prevent the cancer. Screening also helps find colorectal cancer early when treatment works best. You might be thinking, oh no, not that test. But here's the thing, you have options. There's more than one screening test. Talk to your doctor to find the one that's right for you. No more excuses. If you're over 50, get tested, because colorectal cancer screening really does save lives. A message from HHS and CDC's Screen for Life campaign.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodaux, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Welcome back. We are live at Pelicans Media Day inside the Smoothie King Center over here in the loading dock. Thank you for the location there. Vice President of Basketball Operations, David Griffin. I can see the players. I can make sure that you guys don't sneak away here. More importantly, you got me next to the Jimmy Johns.
Well, I mean, we wanted to make sure, Gus, that you had everything you needed to be comfortable, and the Jimmy Johns certainly didn't hurt.
It is by the trash here. No, I'm kidding. It's not where it's at. This is where the media room is, and the players come in and out. Look, let's just start with the pleasantries in this aspect of it. A week from today, there's basketball. I've asked Jackson this and Brandon this as well. I saw a tweet a week ago where you had, you know, AD's shot to help the Lakers win a championship. Since then, they've won one. The Bucks have won one, and we're starting a third NBA season, one calendar year. That's hard to process.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating. You know, we talked about the fact that the last 18 months of COVID basketball seasons have been completely unnatural.
Right.
But when you're a young, developing team in need of finding leadership and comfort and finding trust in the defensive side of the ball, it's really complicated when you spend a whole year not having five-on-five practices. And I think what you've seen in Los Angeles with them winning with a group of veterans, with Milwaukee winning with a group that had been together and then bringing in an incredible human being in Drew Holiday that fit very seamlessly, I think you've seen that teams that were veteran-laden and were ready to win did so at a much higher level because there just was no time to make up the gap. And so the thing that I think we're most encouraged by is we get to get back to normal a little bit and get these guys into an environment they know and understand, and it's exciting.
Normalcy, is that a word that you use very often? It's been a busy last couple of months, so let's kind of go full circle on that. Season ends, there's work to be done. And what's that process sort of like? Take fans, you know, behind the scenes, if you can, sort of to what's that process to understand moves need to be made? What's the process to understand this needs to get fixed? Because I always say this, right? It's whether it's whatever PSA, whatever, you have to admit that there's a problem. You have to understand that things need to happen. It's not always the easiest thing to look in the mirror or just look at something and say, something needs to be fixed.
Well, when you're building teams, it's different than seasons. There is no beginning and end. So we don't go into the off season and say, okay, now we have a bunch of work to do, right? So we knew going into last season, our pieces were going to be a little bit of a wonky fit. Mm-hmm. We knew that. And going into last season, we had a trading window that was open for 2 weeks. We normally have 20. So when you go into a season with 18 fewer weeks to shape the team, by definition, you're going to have a slightly different roster than you want.
Right.
And we knew that. And so I give Coach Van Gundy and his staff a lot of credit. They did some really good things and really unique things with a very, very wonky roster, and we knew it. And we had good guys here that wanted to be here, Bled and Steven among them. But we also knew that what we needed to do, and we saw this all throughout the season,
right,
was we needed to get better at closing games. We needed to put more shooting on the court, and we needed more wing athleticism. And I think we checked every box. We did it in the form of really high character, good people that approach the game the way we want the game approached. We felt really blessed to have the offseason we had. And again, when you look at what it takes to win in this league, you got to win the last 3 minutes of the quarter. You got to win the last 3 minutes of the game. We didn't do that enough, and young teams tend not to, and we feel like we've closed the gap there.
It's interesting. We're touching on what we saw in the NBA Finals with those two teams and closing and the importance of a defensive play here or there. We're going to get to what Brandon Ingram just said, because you touched on some things that you've seen in the offseason I think fans would love to hear here as well, but got to get to that point here. So you make the moves. Look, you sort of addressed it a little bit here today. Reports, perception, just trying to get a positive news cycle for fans would be nice, right? I mean, season ends, oh, we got to do this. And then the next day, it's a story, Zion and them are unhappy. And, like, we would get calls like, can we just have a good week? Can we just have a good day? But you're the guy that has to kind of go through that and deal with it and have those communications. Does that add another level of stress, or just another level of having to deal with and understanding that? Because you're trying to get the roster better. That's what I've been saying. Look, you look at it and say things need to happen, but then you have to go do it. So you got to give that person an opportunity to go do it.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. And look, it'd be disingenuous for me to say I wouldn't rather everybody was saying wonderful things about us.
Sure.
But if they're doing that within the context of we're losing games, it's irrelevant. And I think what you saw was an awful lot being made of comments Zion made leaving last season when he said he didn't think we were close. And I think he referenced doing the same things over again.
Right.
I think it was very clear he wasn't happy that we were losing. And people then wanted to make that quote fit a narrative that they never asked Zion about. And that's what happens when you're losing. People are always going to distort the facts in a way that make the losing more vilified. And when you're winning, they do the exact opposite. They distort all the facts to make everybody look way more important and way smarter and all those things than they really are.
Right.
The reality of winning in the league is your two best players need to be playing in a template that they believe in, with players they believe in, with selfless people that want to win more than anything else, with a staff that knows how to draw that out of them. It takes so many things to win in our league that you see teams really struggle to do so for a very, very long time. Well, right this minute, we feel like coming into the season, we have the best situation we've had both on the court and off. And that's reflected in the mood and the energy and the spirit of our group. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be revealed in the mood and energy of what was 2 years ago in the bubble. And it's unfortunate that people want to use that kind of information as a validation of today's moment. Today we're in a totally different place. We need to win, and we've got guys that are excited about doing it together with a coach that they're really excited about playing for. And beyond that, it's not about anything other than that.
That's what I want to get to next. Speaking with Vice President of Basketball Operations, Mr. David Griffin, here live at Pelicans Media Day. So obviously, using those reports, right, who are they going to look at? Who are the Pelicans kind of getting those candidates? And we followed that process, and then when it came down to hiring Willie Green, look, it's got to be a good thing when you hear players and people in the league currently or coaches reference certain things that I think you've touched on, and that's communicating. And I know it sounds like a word that we throw around a ton. I'm in the communication business, and you know, right? We'd be surprised how many times we can't communicate properly. What sets him apart, though, in that ability to do so? We've had three players on already, and that's specifically what they touched on, knowing you as a player, knowing how you do that. I know you said that was important for you to find, but what was it different with Willie?
I think just the authenticity with which he can deliver the message. Mm-hmm. Willie is similar, I would say, to Tyronn Lue, who won a championship his first year as a coach in Cleveland with an incredible roster of veterans.
Sure.
But Ty was a similar type of player. He was a player that understood he had a role. He was selfless. He was all about winning, and he never made a single moment of his career about him. Ty was that way. Doc Rivers was that way as a player. Willie was that way as a player. So he comes at this from an ability to authentically talk the talk because he walked the walk. And that's rare. And players can feel that. He's not making this about him. He's not speaking too much. When he speaks, he's listened to, and that is a really important thing.
So we see what we did in Summer League, and I had to be calmed down. Griff, I got to be honest with you.
Me too.
It's effort, it's energy, and I understand the context of it. I understand it's Summer League, and you know, guys are playing for checks. Guys are playing for opportunities to come and be part of a preseason roster. I understand that, but at the same time, I understand that Najee Marshall is going to be on the team. I understand that, you know, your draft picks are going to be on the team. And those were the guys that were leading the way. And I also understand up 20, you see Najee defending, making sure a player doesn't get – that translates. So there's certain things that can translate. What was your time like in Vegas seeing the beginnings of that?
Yeah, so, again, it's one of those things that's like a – it's a box you check. Mm-hmm. We've made it to this point. We've manufactured incredible buy-in. But it also says an awful lot about the work Trajan and Bryson Graham did from a scouting perspective, that the pieces, they do fit together. They are all committed to the defensive side of the floor. Nashville was absolutely terrifying because we had more people having to mop up the floor than I've ever seen.
Really?
Guys are diving all over the place because they're buying into what this needs to look like. So I would say Summer League was a really good opportunity to see those kids start to digest the message. Nashville was a good opportunity for us to see what it looked like for them to apply it. And the thing that's the most exciting to me is that that group of guys that played together in Nashville, Najee and Trey and Herb, Kyra Lewis was spectacular. Those guys ran the show the first couple days in Nashville. They held court for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And it took the veterans a little while to catch up to the intensity those kids were playing with. And Willie's going to continue to challenge them to make the veterans' jobs very, very hard. And that makes for a great environment.
I'm grinning because I'm not kidding you. The last day that we saw a Pelicans game over in Summer League, I came on the air and I said, honestly, I'm Willie Green. I said, I can't wait for media day. I'm going to suggest it, but I'm glad he already did. I said, I would do that. I would go in and say, all right, these are your starters. Because Sean Payton in 2006 kind of did something similar, earn the floor to Lee sort of thing, right? And, look, we can sit there and say, you're likely starting lineup, Zion, B.I., Graham. We can do that, Valanciunas. But what you saw effort-wise and what you saw from that team in Summer League, I'm like, hey, day one, we're going to get into the install and all that, put 20 minutes on the clock, we're playing a pickup game. Pel's Summer League team versus whatever, you know, other five to go, and let's get after it. And that's interesting because it's kind of similar, I guess, to what you just kind of touched on there.
Well, and what Willie challenged those guys from Summer League with is you need to make the veterans feel you from the very minute you're on the court with them. They need to recognize you mean business. Mm-hmm. And that's translated. And I think when you have an environment that's that competitive every day in practice, it yields better results when you're in a competitive business over time. The more competitive it can be for longer, the more that becomes sort of a part of the fabric of who you are as a team. And as I said earlier today, we want this team to be one that reflects the same ability to overcome adversity mm-hmm. that the city in South Louisiana have. We need to be reflective of our fan base because our fans deserve to see us play in the manner that they want to be represented in. And I've done a very poor job of getting a group together that does that
right.
to this point. But I think you're seeing the fruits of what Willie's going to be able to do here.
So roster is a part of that there as well. The coaching staff is a part of that as well. And also, I guess, that understanding, that connection and communication. We just saw with Milwaukee, right, defensive efforts. We touched on it before we went on the air here. That finals turned around with Giannis, their best player, the franchise guy, making an effort play on the defensive end. We saw Middleton hitting a big shot, wanting that moment. We saw Drew getting that steal, making that play. And also saw other players, though, that knew their roles and excelled in their roles. And that's the importance of it. But, David, none of that's happened unless your guys that are on the side of the arena take ownership. Do you feel Brandon Ingram, Zion, perhaps others, are ready to take that? Because it takes time. It takes ownership, and it takes time.
So I think they're more than willing to do it, mm-hmm. and I think they're more than ready to do it in terms of their desire. I think what you see with Brandon Ingram is somebody who's physically more capable of it than he's ever been. This is a young guy who is an all-star. His numbers last year were actually better and more efficient than the year before. He's grown and continued to evolve as a player. But what he recognized in the offseason and what Daniel Bove and our performance team, Aaron Nelson, were able to do was to share with him specifically what it was he needed to work on in the weight room. And I've never seen a player dedicate themselves to the weight room like he did in the offseason. And when he brought everyone to Phoenix, he was taking them to the gym he was working out in every day. Again, walking the walk. He's not telling guys what they need to do. He's leading guys to do that. And the amount of work he put in the weight room is really unprecedented for me. And I'll tell you, Gus, the reason that stands out to me so much is Brandon's a very long levered player. He's got very long legs. He's got long arms. He tends to have a high center of gravity. That's something that's very difficult to improve. Chris Middleton, who you mentioned earlier, had that same issue. And as Chris got strong enough to move laterally defensively, his game took an enormous leap forward because he was so good defensively. Brandon's going to take that jump now mm-hmm. because he can sit and slide and move laterally now in a way that he couldn't before. And we saw that at a really high level in Nashville, and I'm excited for our fans to get to see what that looks like. More importantly, I'm excited for Brandon to get to play it in a real NBA game because he worked his ass off, and he deserves mm-hmm. to see the fruits of that.
You touched on the importance of if you want to be a winning organization and team and be in a playoffs, closing out late in games. Can that help translate to late in games, whether it's offensively or on a defensive end as well?
No doubt whatsoever. When you have the staying power that you'll have because he's so much stronger, it's going to have really big impact at the end of the game. Brandon, I think, played the vast majority of last year at about 190 pounds. He's significantly over 200 now.
Okay.
And as the season went along last year, he probably went from about 190 to 183. Well, when you're getting bumped off in the fourth quarter because officials are letting the game be determined a little bit more on the floor, it's pretty noticeable to be that much lighter. He's significantly stronger and heavier now. He'll be able to lean into players a little bit better off the dribble. But more importantly, he'll have more in the tank to be able to play both ends. And I think that's the thing that he's excited about.
Speaking with Vice President of Basketball Operations, David Griffin. You got about 5 more minutes?
Sure, of course.
Cool. Well, why don't we take the break then, buddy? That way we can stay on time, and it will come back because, obviously, Zion Williamson, thanks for the news this morning. That was...
What news, Zion?
Yeah. What? you know how to get that news cycle going, don't you? That is for sure. We'll talk with David a little bit more about that, and really more importantly, as the schedule gets out 1 week from today, Pelicans preseason is off and running. So we'll touch on that, and I've not forgotten. Saints 28-13, they're 2-1. We'll get into that as well as we're live at Pelicans Media Day on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. But there's one thing I know for sure, girl, I don't give a damn. The same old played out scenes, they don't give a damn. For just them betweens,
offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply and Home Office. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply. 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
State Farm offers surprisingly great rates on auto insurance, but what does that mean? Surprising. This often means something comes out of nowhere, like finding that $20 bill in your dryer. Great? Well, obviously great means superior. Rates? Simply what one pays in exchange for something. And in this case, that something is State Farm being there when you need them most. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements.
When you want the real deal, call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios in Cutoff.
Rouse's Markets team is right here in our community and in communities all over South Louisiana, working around the clock to help their neighbors in need. They're bringing in fresh groceries and supplies every single day. And good, good, good news, the Rouse's Market in Golden Meadow, that store we all know and love, will be back open next Wednesday. Store manager Reggie Lejeune and all of your friends who work at Rouse's will be there. It's going to be a homecoming for sure. Rouse's Markets feels like home.
Come on, citizens!
What are you waiting for?
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back. We're live at the Smoothie King Center where, let's see, 10 days? I'm terrible at math, Vice President of Basketball Operations David Griffin, but Wednesday, right? Wednesday, we'll be here taking on the Magic on October 6th. So, yeah, 10 days. We'll have a preseason game here. A week from today, this team will be at Minnesota taking on the T-Wolves. All right, so we were talking a little bit about physically trying to get, but Jackson Hayes said he put on some weight and some, yep, and some pounds there, too. Saw him shooting threes last year, doing that. He says he's going to work on that, make that part of his game. But we saw him blocking shots. Blocking shots was kind of an element this team needed to improve on as well, right? And he brought up in BI as well that Valanciunas just brings a different sort of size level to it.
Yeah, Jackson's somebody that athletically there's very few comps for in the NBA. He's really, really unusual as a run-and-jump athlete. But Jackson can also dribble, pass, and shoot. And people haven't seen a lot of that. And I think the thing that's difficult for Jackson is he's so capable of almost anything, and he didn't play very much basketball growing up. He was primarily a football player. Mm-hmm. And he really didn't transfer to basketball on an elite level till after his sophomore year in high school. And then he didn't really play elite basketball for more than a year at college. He was a one and done. So this is not a guy who has native big man tendencies. He doesn't understand natively what it is to own the paint, to be a rebounder, shot blocker. What he always was a talent. Play basketball, make plays, run and jump, dunk, block a shot because I can, not because he had the timing of it or the understanding of when to do it.
Right.
So Jackson has really put a lot of time in the weight room to get stronger so that he can apply the things the coaching staff is asking him to do as a big man. At the same time, what Jackson has the capability to do, and he showed a little bit of it at the end of last season. I think he was like 6 of 14 from 3 at the end of the season. In Nashville, he was the best player on the court for the first 3 days we were there, and it was because he was making threes. He was rolling and dunking. He was dunking off the dribble, making plays for other people, and blocking shots. He can do all those things. It's the consistency and the focus that he brings to the defensive end,
right,
that comes and goes. And it's his ability to apply himself consistently that's going to dictate whether or not he's a truly impactful player. Mm-hmm. But I think he's been hamstrung by the fact that he's almost too capable of anything he wants to do, and he's really never been given a clear role. So I'm hopeful that we get him to the point where he understands in order to stay on the court, you must do X, Y, Z. Okay. And I think Willie's going to do that.
I can already see the personality shining through with Devontae Graham. What can he bring to this team, not only on and off the court, though?
Well, Devontae's somebody that, I mean, we were ecstatic to be able to get in free agency. And I think it's just a grossly underrated player in our league because he has a really rare combination of ability to get a shot late in the shot clock, late in games, to make game-winning shots off the dribble, but also to be an elite catch-and-shoot three-point spacer. And Devontae shoots from 30 feet, and he does it very easily. So what he's going to give to us in terms of his ability to space the floor And Trey Murphy's another one of these guys.
Yeah, he just walked by, and the first thing in my head was, like, I didn't realize he was that tall.
Yeah, he's legit 6'8", 6'9", and very long arms, 7'1", wingspan.
Yeah.
But what Devontae and Trey do is they make shots at a level that you respect them as shooters and you guard them as shooters. And if you can guard a player like a shooter, that's going to open the floor for Zion and Jonas. Okay. Frankly, Jonas makes an awful lot of threes himself. So we have the ability, I think, to be really versatile in the way we put our lineups out there. But adding a great deal of shooting, adding versatility to the roster was something we wanted to do. And when you do it in the form of a guy like Devontae Graham, who's been a game-winning big shot maker as well, that's important.
All right, let's get to the Blue Devil in the room, because all these pieces – has been discussed as pieces to try to put around Zion Williamson, but at the same time, where is his fit? Point Zion, point this, or offensive, defensive. Look, it starts with this morning with, you know, you made our breakfast kind of get a little, you know, sideways when you say he had a broken foot. Thank you for explaining where he is, and you're hoping where he's going to be, but for those that missed it, what happened to him, and when can we see Zion?
Yeah, so Z was working out this offseason, which he did probably too much and too hard. He broke his right foot, and he had surgery thereafter. Dr. Montgomery was part of that process from a surgical standpoint. Mm-hmm. He assisted in that. Our head strength coach, Stan Williams, who's also an assistant athletic trainer, was with him throughout the rehab process. We were keeping tabs on him throughout the process. And it's just really a flukish, unfortunate thing where he was getting ready on the court, making a basketball move and broke his foot. And so it happens. It's certainly something that's happened to many other great players. I think Kevin Durant's broken his foot 4 times, or 1 foot twice and the other foot twice. It happens. It's okay. A common thing. So we're excited that he's where he is in terms of his recovery, and hopefully we have him back for the regular season.
When you take a look at improvements, right? I mean, I think a lot of times, and we saw it here in person, and I reference it a lot because we saw Anthony Davis come from someone that was skinny to develop to now we just see him with size. We saw last year want to hit the big shots, be physical, things of that nature, drive to the paint. But it takes seasons. You witnessed LeBron in Cleveland. It took seasons to get to that point and another trip on another team. Realistically, do you feel sometimes when people say, well, Zion needs to do this and needs to do that, do we forget that he really hasn't played that much? Now, again, there's still growth to be, and there's still he needs to do certain things, but it takes time to sort of build and do all these different aspects, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt. And, I mean, again, in the day and age of your top lottery picks being freshmen, being one and done,
right,
many of them being on a college campus for 3 games – then leaving, these guys are coming to the league having played less and less basketball than they ever have and having less and less understanding of who they are as people, let alone who they are as basketball players. So we all want instant gratification, and there's this assumption that you have to be chasing your tail to build a winner with these guys. We have to build a winner for him or he's going to leave. Our job's not to land a winner on somebody. Our job is to build a template from which their particular greatness can come to the fore and be the reason we win games. And so we're doing that. We're in the process of doing that. But it doesn't happen quickly. And it certainly doesn't happen quickly with a 19-year-old kid,
right,
who has a physicality and a talent level that is completely unusual. It's not like anyone has experience with working with a specimen quite like this. He doesn't have experience being capable of the things he's experiencing now because he's never done some of those things before. What was fascinating to me about Zion was Point Zion wasn't a reach. Point Zion was what he had been his whole career. Zion played point guard growing up.
Right.
It was unusual for him to play power forward and be in the post, and he was historically efficient at it. Then they moved him away from the basket, made him Point Zion, and he was historically efficient at it. It's a rare, rare talent to have. And so what you hope is that you can have that talent grow and evolve, mm-hmm, learn to be the player he's capable of being, but apply himself on both sides of the floor. Because you made this point earlier. Milwaukee doesn't win unless their best players are making plays on the defensive side of the floor. That's how you win. Zion's an all-star. Brandon's an all-star. They're not trying to be all-stars. They're trying to be winners. So as you make the transition to winning, you learn how you apply all of that talent to the defensive side of the floor as well.
We talked about several players, Vice President of Basketball Operations, David Griffin, with us, that put on size, put on weight, try to do those different things. I almost feel like, look, it's going to be a topic just because he's unique about his size. Is he too big? Can he handle this? And you know what's going to happen today on the jump or whatever, right? His size is why he broke his foot and all this stuff. But at the end of last season, a discussion was the beating that he took down there. We see it too. And his size allows him to maybe be a force down the lane and do that. So what's the balance there to where you know his size can be, you know, something positive for sure? Or do you ever view it as, well, do we want him to maybe play more leaner or do these different things? Because if you're going to be a point guard, David, you're going to handle a ball a lot more. You're going to be doing probably a lot more running up and down the court, right? That's kind of what I'm trying to get at. How are you planning on using him? Does that dictate his size, or you just kind of see where he goes physically naturally?
Well, I think he's so young that he's learning his body. His body's growing and evolving in ways that, like, it does for any 19, 20-year-old kid at the time. So he's learning what it looks like to be an elite athlete in this league. And he knows he's got work to do in that space. At the same time, I would tell you, climate change is real, right? The science is there. Physics is real. The larger a body is, generating that much torque and speed and power, landing from 40 inches in the air, you're going to have a larger margin for error. And things happen in those circumstances. Amari Stoudemire is a great example. I was with Amari in Phoenix. Amari had an athleticism that at that point was unheard of in the NBA. In terms of that size athleticism package, he had knee problems that generated from taking off and landing in crazy positions. It's physics. So once we can get to the point where we're able to maintain a steady level of athleticism and control of that athleticism, right, we diminish the margin for error. And that just takes time.
So what aspects of his game do you feel need to improve, or was he working on this offseason to help them get through a season? More importantly, David, as we talked about already, he and B.I. are going to lead this team. And I think this is where the steps this franchise is going to take is really, I think, how they sort of walk it. So how does he need to sort of improve this year? What do you want to see by the end of this year that growth can go?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're talking about two guys that very much want to win, who recognize they're going to make their bones on the defensive side of the ball, and that they're capable of things offensively that very few people in the history of the league have been capable of. I think they know that. And I think they're going to challenge each other quite a bit to get to a point where they are accretive to winning on the defensive side of the ball. At the same time, we need to sprinkle in veterans that are of that mindset, that have been successful because of that mindset, and we've done that. And so I feel really strongly about what Garrett Temple is going to be able to give us as a veteran leader, somebody who's a very, very good defensive player who makes clutch shots. That's important to have. Jonas Valanciunas is a tremendous voice in a locker room, tremendous. And so he's been there and done that in the form of winning basketball games, and that matters.
Yeah, Brandon mentioned Valanciunas' voice already in the locker room. So I guess let's wrap up with this. I've kept you 2 seconds. Thanks. Message to Pels fans, especially listening this morning, going, oh, my gosh, Zion's not going to play in the preseason. All the, is he going to be ready for the regular season, your hope?
Yeah, I mean, our hope would be that he is.
Okay. So what's the message to fans this year? What to expect from this team?
Ignore the noise and enjoy the ride. These guys are going to play incredibly hard. They're going to be bringing a level of intensity and passion to the game that our fans deserve to see. And our results will improve as they're together and grow and evolve. But this team's heading in a very, very good direction. And the spirit and the energy that Willie Green and his staff have brought to it are palpable already. And I'm really, really grateful that our fans are going to be able to be present to experience that. At the same time, I'm really grateful we're home and we're going to be able to make the impact in the community that we're going to be able to make as well. We work in an organization run by Gail Benson. She is all about this state and this city, and we're going to be the same.
Vice President of Basketball Operations, Mr. David Griff, thank you so much for your time this afternoon, and let's talk throughout the season so I don't become noise. That way, you know, here's a headset.
Thanks,
Let's go.
Gus.
Let's go at it. Appreciate your
Appreciate it, man.
Yep, for sure. Quick break. We come back. Rafael Esparza, news of your New Orleans Saints, an injury that is not going to help things. We'll touch on that next on ESPN New Orleans.
Medications can be scary sometimes, but necessary for our health and well-being. Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy's staff are trained in finding you the lowest cost available on your medications. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options. Patients who take their medications as prescribed have better health outcomes. Stop by one of our pharmacies today, located in Rouse's Supermarket on Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
New FanDuel Fantasy players, your day is about to get 20% better. Start playing fantasy this football season, and FanDuel will give you a 20% bonus on your first deposit, up to $500. That's a big-time bonus, and all you need to do to claim it is make your first deposit. If you've never tried FanDuel, now is the perfect time to jump in. You'll love playing fantasy football on FanDuel. Not only is it easy to start, but you can set new lineups every game day, keeping the action fresh all season long. There are many types of game formats to choose from, and you can even play private contests with your friends. There's an awesome slate of games on hand this week and every week. So what are you waiting for? Get in on all the excitement and experience season-long wins without the season-long waits. Sign up today at FanDuel.com/play to claim your bonus and start playing today. That's FanDuel.com/play. Age and location restrictions apply. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires after 30 days.
Hey, this is Bomani Jones. What's your favorite podcast? Let me tell you why that'll be number two after you listen to mine. Three times a week, I'm going to challenge you to keep up with me as I discuss topics from the latest in technology and music and people getting dunked on. Also, you'll get the very best analysis of the games, and we watch them with encyclopedic level historical connection. Plus, we have got a community of guests that you'll feel like are your closest friends in no time. Listen and subscribe to The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever.
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. So Jordan just sent me the news here. So we're speaking with Vice President of Basketball Operations, David Griffin, and the news stinks. We did see yesterday in the game, Teron Armstead, left tackle for your New Orleans Saints, go out early. This is Ian Rappaport minutes ago.
Teron Armstead, probably the best offensive lineman on the New Orleans Saints, is out several weeks with an elbow injury. This was described to me, the timetable, as about 3 to 6 weeks. So he is still getting tests, so no firm word yet, still waiting on a clean MRI here. But actually, Andrew, this is pretty good news because the initial fear was that it was very, very serious. Now I am told not expected to be season-ending, barring some surprising news on some of these tests. So Armstead should be back for New Orleans.
So just add that one to the list. What is it with elbows here? Marcus Davenport was a pec. Peyton Turner had an elbow, bunch of different elbows here. Rafael Esparza, thank you for dealing with us here today, sirs. We're going in and out. General Manager Trajan Langdon is standing by, and he will be coming on shortly after he finishes his discussion currently with David Griffin. But want to touch on some things that we saw over the weekend, some college football games and NFL that really stood out. Arkansas, that win against A&M, man, were you surprised by that?
I thought they would be able to run the ball, and if that was the case, I thought they had a really good chance to win. So, that didn't surprise me at all. I would guess if you're looking at SEC play, I would think Georgia State, almost speaking to Auburn, was probably the bigger shock than anything. And maybe Mississippi State almost winning that game late, which with LSU up pretty much the whole game, and then all of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, the Cowbells could have stole that game.
So when you look at the rest of the slate that took place over the weekend, what else stood out over on the college football field?
How overrated some of these SEC and ACC teams are really are. And I just can't believe Clemson going down, some struggles of North Carolina going down. Like I said, Auburn squeaking out a victory of Georgia State. I mean, maybe these two conferences we all thought that were creme of the creme. That's why the Big 12 were merging and stuff like that, because they didn't think they'd compete with these other big schools. Maybe we need to take a step backwards because some of these schools, there's only maybe a handful of them, of maybe just Alabama. Everybody else seems to me is it can easily lose week after week.
You know, you take a look at the NFL slate, and Raphael, all those Bears fans already had visions of Super Bowls dancing in their head. Justin Fields, they lose 26-6, but he was sacked 9 times. Literally, Dan Orlovsky of ESPN was calling for his firing this morning. Is Nagy or whatever you're going to call him fired by the end of this week? Or, I mean, what? That didn't look good yesterday.
Yeah, I should do a prop bet. Who gets fired first? Florida State's head coach Novell or Nagy from the Bears? Because I think if both of them, I think, would not want to answer their phones if their bosses are calling them for the next 24 to 48 hours. Yeah, Nagy. I mean, I think that's why they didn't want Fields to come out right away, because they had to play some really good defenses off the start of the back. So, but boy, man, Fields looked like an Ohio State quarterback in the NFL. As I always tell people, I'm not sold on any Ohio State quarterback playing in the NFL.
Dan Campbell and the Lions, he's got them playing hard. They lose on a, 66-yard field goal. I'm talking about from people that are doing what you like to do and bet. Are the Lions a team that I maybe think about maybe, you know, giving some love to?
Yeah, why not? All they're doing is cover games. I mean, they were a big win for us covering. I mean, Jacksonville was a big win for us as they covered the first half, which everyone thought Arizona was just going to whoop them up. So that was a nice first cover for the Jags. But yeah, Detroit fights games and win games against the spread. So they're going to win one of these games. Just I feel bad for them losing on that with the record field goal. That's just gut wrenching.
All right, final thing for you, sir. Eagles and Cowboys tonight. Dallas a 3.5-point favorite. Who do you like?
I can't believe I have to say this because my twin brother is probably going to be doing backflips if he hears this. I kind of like Cowboys. The number has come down. It was 4 pretty much the whole weekend. Now with some 3s out there, I'll take the boys at home -3. I'm not sold on the Eagles, but I'll root for it just because my brother's a Dallas fan.
All right, at VSI Doc Sports is the way to give yourself a follow over on social media. Instagram daily videos as well, sir. Looking forward to talking with you on Friday.
Take it easy. Enjoy the Pelicans. Nice preview of them. How's your foot and ankle? Do you have any surgeries while you were gone throughout the Pelicans?
You know what? It's doing fine. It's a little sore, though. I had to put up all the Halloween decorations, so my back's a little sore. The hamstring's a little sore. You know, I mean, if you want to, you know, send a little massage gift certificate your way, I'd appreciate it. That or some bourbon.
I'll see if I can find both, some bourbon and massage therapist coming your way.
We do need a sushi night soon.
Yes, we do.
All right. Thank you, bud. I appreciate it.
Take it easy.
All right, for sure. Buddy, why don't we take a quick break? That way we can give General Manager Trajan Langdon some time here instead of trying to force it all in 3-4 minutes. So we'll do that and step aside. Don't forget, folks, DraftKings is the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. DraftKings, they want to put you, new customers, in the center of the action. How? By giving you a chance to win millions of dollars in total prizes. Download the DraftKings app now. Enter the code LaRose. Boom. Free shot at millions in total prizes with that first deposit. So keep in mind, unlike the intern, Jordan Kleber, DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. You can deposit or withdraw your cash whenever you want. I've said it before. I've been using $5. I think if you give Jordan $1, you'll never see it back again. So definitely you want to go and do your betting with DraftKings. So go do that. Download it. Enter the code LaRue. So take a quick break. We come back. General Manager of your New Orleans Pelicans, Trajan Langdon. We're live at Pelicans Media Day here in the Smoothie King Center on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
This Black and Gold Report is brought to you by Rogers Parts, your home for Napa Auto Parts. Locally owned, nationally known. Get your Napa know-how in Lockport, LaRose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadieville. It's a win, 28-13. Saints over the Patriots on Sunday afternoon. Sunday night, the team finally landed back home here in New Orleans. Head coach Sean Payton.
Shoot, everyone at TCU, Texas Stadium, the hotel we were at, there were a lot of people that were fantastic and very supportive. You know, a challenge when you're not on schedule at home, but I thought we handled that part of it well. I thought we had a good week of preparation leading up to this game. You know, it'll be good to get home tonight finally and, you know, kind of get back to our facility.
Quarterback Jameis Winston, 13 of 21 for 128. Now Taysom Hill, who scored the key touchdown in a 13-play drive in the fourth quarter to seal it,
Says he doesn't care.
You know, it's easy to get caught up in the numbers, but you got to play the game. You got to play the situation. It's all about winning. And when your defense is creating turnovers like that, that's what you do.
Winston adds, it may just be the new identity moving forward.
Saints football has always been efficiency and physicality up front. I mean, that's them the only Saints that I knew. So they went up front and they played tough. And that's what we did here. I'm happy that we got this win.
The 2-1 Saints face the 0-3 Giants in the Dome Sunday at noon. For more on the Black and Gold, keep it here on ESPN New Orleans. This Black and Gold report has been brought to you by Rogers Parts, your home for Napa Auto Parts. Locally owned, nationally known. Get your Napa know-how in Lockport, La Rose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadyville.
Napa know-how.
Rogers Parts, your local distributor of high-quality Napa Auto Parts, marine, and industrial supplies, has what you need to keep your vehicle rolling safely down the road. Whether it's repair or maintenance, Napa has the parts to help you make your vacation destination. Getting ready for that big fishing trip, they have quality marine parts to help keep your boat going. So stop by one of Rogers Parts 5 locations, Lockport, La Rose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadyville, and talk with one of their ASE parts specialists. Rogers Parts, they've got the Napa know-how.
He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosting Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
All right, welcome back to the Smoothie King Center. 10 days, I think if I did the math right, General Manager Trajan Langdon, we'll see the Pelicans take on the Magic here on October 6th. Hard to believe a week from today, 7 days. You guys will be in Minnesota for a basketball game to start the preseason. Look at your face right now.
It comes quick, man.
It does. I've asked this to a couple of players that we had, from Jackson to Brandon to even David Griffin here as well. It's incredible. Last week I saw the tweet, about Anthony Davis hitting the shot for the Lakers. Yeah. That won them a championship.
Right.
The Bucks have won a championship.
Yeah.
Now we're on a third season.
It's insane.
One calendar year. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully the league will never have to experience this again. Right. But,
right.
If you love basketball, you've seen a lot of it, recently, but that makes for compressed off seasons for these guys. And I think, you know, you look around and I think we're excited, very, very excited for this season, but it seems like we were just here.
I want to talk about the task that you guys had as a front office to kind of look at the roster, play with it, add some additions, and see what kind of basketball team you want to be. But overall, what did you think of the experience last year in terms of the play-in, the way the league was? I thought it was very competitive. It made the last month of the season awesome. Obviously, you don't want to be a play-in team, but I love it. At the same time, it gives you an opportunity to sort of do that. I like the fact that it's back this year. You?
Yeah, let me hit on something first, though, that
sure.
I think people from all 30 teams that were in this realm and had to do it. The COVID experience of this past year was just, it was taxing on everybody, coaching staffs, players. So for us to get through a full season in a playoffs, well, you talked about a play-in,
sure.
a playoffs,
mm-hmm.
crowning a champion was an amazing achievement, by all 30 teams and by the league. I think it was really, really difficult, especially emotionally, logistically. So, Aaron Nelson for us did a tremendous job, keeping us aligned and focused and doing what we needed to do from a protocol and mandate standpoint. So just wanted to put that out there, that I appreciate everybody around the league to make sure that we got that thing in, because it was hard. It was a hard time for our guys. But, you know, looking forward to this season, I do like the plan. I think it created an opportunity last year around the league where a lot of people were more invested for longer.
Sure.
Like, I think if that play-in capability for us wasn't there, that opportunity wasn't there, I think we got knocked out with 3 games left.
Right.
We'd probably been knocked out with 10 games left. So we wanted to have a season where our players had the opportunity to play for something. And the play-in would have been perfect. That didn't happen. But we were playing for something for, all the games but 3. So I do think that will pay dividends coming into this next season. And I think fans had really liked that idea of not only the play-in itself, but teams competing for that play-in spot and teams competing for the 6th spot, to make sure they don't have to play in the
Bingo.
Play-in. Those things are big too. So it's going to keep the attention of the fans a lot longer. And I think that's important for the league.
Well, I think the other thing you looked at it too, and look, it was the game that got all those ratings, right? And I know LeBron said he didn't care for it, but You can never account for it. We talked about it earlier this morning when David Griffin said Zion's recovering from foot surgery. Injuries happen. And to those two teams in particular, Golden State and the Lakers, I don't think if you have the play-in, they're not in the postseason. Yeah, I mean, when you lose Klay Thompson to start the season, or AD and LeBron don't play pretty much almost a third of the season, that could hurt you. Not that you ever want to do that, but I think it allows to where, hey, get back, get healthy, just get in, and then you can see what sort of happens from that aspect of it. But when you saw those two teams play, yeah, it that helped. And look, I want to see that. You want to see that. It was great theater, and it was a good game.
Yeah, and you know, I think, again, like I said before, I think the league's in a good place.
Yeah.
I think they did a tremendous job in terms of us being able to have and finish a season last year. So this will be a really fun one this year. I think everybody knows what the plan is. Maybe they have a better understanding of, all right, I can't be messing around. I got to get to that sixth spot to make sure a lot of people aren't going to – nobody wants to work for – to get in that seventh spot and then, dang, now I got to win one more game to get in, and, and if I lose two, I'm done. So I do understand that, but I do agree with you that it's a lot more theater for the fans.
All right, I agree with you where the league is, and I think one of the reasons it's in a fun spot right now, Trajan, is the young talent. I mean, you saw the emergence right over Trae Young and what he was able to do, what the Suns were able to do, that next step that Devin Booker sort of took, and then really Milwaukee. I know a lot of it's talked about with the small markets, but just seeing the process sort of come together, right? Yeah. I mean, two players that have spent 15 seasons or a couple of seasons together already, and Middleton and Giannis, and then you add, sprinkle in. I mean, like, there are models that I think people here in New Orleans can look at with those two teams and see, like, okay, that can happen. Like, that makes sense, you know? Growth, yeah. Sprinkle a vet.
Yeah, obviously in the two different situations you have Book down in Phoenix where people are questioning his commitment, and obviously that's just a narrative that's out there. I think he's committed to Phoenix, and he just works his tail off. He stays quiet and he does what he does, goes out there and competes, and he was able to take a jump with the addition of Chris coming in. Obviously tremendous job by that coaching staff, and obviously up in Milwaukee crowning the champion, and you're right, those two guys, Chris and Giannis, said this is home, this is where I'm going to win my championship. And Giannis has said it for years, that I want to win a championship here in Milwaukee, and kudos to him for putting the work in and making it happen. I think the Eastern Conference continues to get stronger every year. You mentioned Trae Young. A couple other teams came in that became more competitive that people didn't think were going to do what they did last year. And then the West is just a monster. I mean, it's a monster. Yeah. And, obviously it's a ladder that we need to climb, that we want to climb. And I think we have a good group to be competitive, in a monster Western Conference this season.
When you look at that, is that a good thing as well, Trajan, that you start looking at this roster as we start talking now about the Pelicans in particular, when you know you're going to have to defend? I mean, you have to. I know it's something that you want to say. I know it's something that coaches like to say and players like to do, but it's obvious. If you don't start to guard these teams where it's Dame one night, or, you know, now you see what the Lakers have added in shooting with Russ and everything, you're going to have to guard it. You need more than one or two players, you know? Yeah. You don't need just that defensive stopper. You're going to have to do it as a team.
I agree with you 100%. It has to be a mindset of your entire team, no matter what five people are on the floor. The defensive mindset, the mindset and the slant has to be defensive. Like, if I don't score, I have to be able to get stops. And we've talked continuously. And in playing the game, if you know you can't get a stop, it puts more pressure on your shot. You can relax and shoot the ball. If you know, if I miss, I'm going to go stop them anyway. And so that's the mindset that we have to get to. And I think, you know, Willie was a defensive slanted player. And, you know, when he was in Golden State, they guarded, you know, Phoenix guarded this past year. So I think he's going to bring that mindset to our group. And I think we got better defensively this offseason. I think we got bigger. We talked about a little bit of that off the air, but I do think we got bigger, and we have a lot more multi-positional defenders than we had before. So I'm really excited and intrigued to see what our coaching staff is going to do with them.
Speak with Pelicans general manager Trajan Langdon. Okay, so does that mindset sort of start, obviously, when everybody comes together for the first time? I asked David Griffin a little bit about his thoughts of what he saw in Nashville as well. From roster construction to finally hiring Willie Green, now seeing it all put together, at least the beginning process. What were your thoughts of the team and what they accomplished in Nashville?
Yeah, I love Nashville. I think it began before that. We hired Willie, and in, I don't know, 10 days we were in Vegas in Summer League, something like that. So I think the defensive slant, the defensive mindset started there with that group of guys. And that, I think, then carried over into Nashville when we added more players, more roster guys. But, yeah, we talked about it every day, and guys really, really competed in Nashville. It was a great environment. It was the silver lining from the storm. Obviously, you hate that we had to be displaced. You hate what Hurricane Ida did to the city, did to the people of the city. But it did create an opportunity for us to go up to Nashville. A lot of teams, obviously, throughout the history of the NBA, like going away for training camp.
Sure.
We weren't planning on going away, but this provided the opportunity. And any time you can get off campus, it really puts the focus on the team. There's nothing, you're not going home to family. You're not going home to a girlfriend. It's not in a comfortable area. So you tend to come closer, more dinners, more lunches, guys hanging out more, getting closer. But the environment, in the gym every day was a lot of energy. And when the guys, played, it was really, really competitive. Guys were going after it every day.
All right. Let's do Pelicans info for fans or, you know, like I say, the dummy copy here. We're just going to go quick notes version, right? So for the fans that are waiting for this new season to go, let's just kind of go through it here. The Rooks, it was exciting. I saw Trey Murphy walk by earlier when I was speaking with Griffin. I was like, I didn't realize how big he is size-wise. Mm-hmm. Love the attitude, love everything there. Love the draft picks, Earl Jones. He mentioned him already. Yeah. Being able to defend, B.I. mentioned him first. So they've been able to sort of integrate themselves. You're chuckling, why? Was there a little one-on-one or something going on there?
I think he said, you know, B.I. came out to a game in the summer league and saw these guys too. So, and then he felt them for a few days in Nashville. Herb's pretty good, man. Defensively.
He mentioned him.
I mean, there's a reason why he was SEC player of the year and SEC defensive player of the year too. I mean, we talked about that defensive slant. He really takes pride in it. And you mentioned Trey. He does too. Like you said, he's big, he's long, smart player on both ends and takes pride defensively, so he can really shoot at high IQ, but he really digs in and takes pride defensively too as well.
Voices in the locker room, veteran voices, they're key, and just people that have kind of been there around. Garrett Temple, Valanciunas, I've heard those names a lot today.
Yeah, two big names that are going to be important for us, guys that have played in a lot of playoff games. I think our teams the past couple years haven't had a whole lot of playoff experience, and I think we really added that this summer with those two and Satoransky. Those three guys played in a lot of playoff games, especially Jonas up in Toronto and in Memphis. He played deep in some playoffs, and Garrett having the experience that he's had in the NBA in a lot of different organizations and franchises, and then obviously being from here, he knows this place. He knows how important it is for us to come together and succeed and compete on a nightly basis, especially in a time like this when this area is recovering from a disaster that was Hurricane Ida almost a month ago now. So I think we have a chance to do something special in a special time this season.
Point guard's a very key spot in the NBA, no doubt.
Yeah.
In basketball, the salience.
Yeah.
What does Devontae Graham bring to this team?
Maturity, I think, was a big thing for us with him. His presence on the floor, I think, is going to give our coaching staff a feel of when the ball's in his hands, okay, he's got this thing under control. He's either going to do something good or he's going to get the ball to somebody who's going to do something good. He has a pulse for the game. Unselfish. But more than anything, he's going to be a brain on the floor for our guys. If Z or B.I. or Jonas comes over to him and is like, look, I have this matchup, he's going to be able to
that's key, closing out games, right?
And that was important for us we use the word maturity in terms of closing out games. Again, we have a lot of young guys, but we need to be able to surround them with some guys that have done that before, that have closed games. And, you know, again, you mentioned Jonas Satoransky and GT, and those guys have done that. So, the addition of those guys, and obviously Devontae, who can flat out shoot the ball, is going to spread the floor for us for give more room for those, for Jonas, B.I. and Zeta to really operate. And so I'm excited to see again how those guys will flourish, but more like, I think we got a lot of weapons for our coaches to work with.
3 minutes before the top of the hour, we'll let you go. Thank you for your time. Zion and B.I., how they go, really, I mean, can really take this franchise to that next level and step. Griff seems to think that B.I. can take an even bigger step this year. He's really impressed with his off season. And with Zion, what improvements can we expect to see this season?
Well, both of those guys obviously have done some incredible things in their young careers already in this mm-hmm. league. I mean, 21 and 24, and they've all, you know, both been all-stars already. And I think they're just scratching the surface of what they're going to be able to do. They don't even really know the league that well. They know it well, sure. But I'm just talking about years of experience when you're talking about when you're going against other guys, especially in our conference, the premier guys. But both had really focused summers. They really worked on what they felt was important in their games. I think both of them will be stronger. Both of them are going to bring a different slant, especially on the offensive end. I think being able to attack in different ways than we've seen before. And I think they both really like playing together. I think if you watch some of our games, especially in the second half of the season, you could see them communicating, putting each other in spots, understanding mismatches. And I think that will continue this year. These guys kind of vibing off each other and feeling each other on the court, and understanding how to attack, how to space. This is what I got going on. This is where you should go. I'll get you the ball there. Right. So, obviously, the more that they're going to play together, the better synergy they'll have.
So, you spent some time in the offseason working out?
What's that?
Zion and B.I.?
They didn't spend any time in the offseason, but I think they spoke a good amount. But, again, they were in their own little – I think, you know, B.I. talked in his press conference about getting away, decompressing, and I think that happened all around the league everywhere. His guys had to get away. It was a difficult season, as I alluded to before, and guys had to figure out where am I at emotionally, where am I mentally, how do I attack this off season, and so that's what their focus was. And I talked to him postseason, and I knew that's exactly what they were going to do. They were going to get in the lab, and they were going to really focus on what they needed to do to get better and really help this team taking that next step this year.
In 30 seconds. Message for Pels fans, what to expect about this basketball team. What do you want them to know about the team that you guys helped put together?
Things that have been discussed in Nashville between, you know, with the guys is I think this is an opportunity, you know, with everything that has happened to this city, is we want to be a source and a sense of pride for Pels fans and for the city of New Orleans. When you watch us play, we're going to be putting our hearts on the floor. And we're going to be competing at the highest level, knowing that the people of New Orleans are watching and cheering for us. And we want, again, like I said, we want this to be a sense of pride for the city, and know that we're playing for you all season.
General Manager Trajan Langton, thank you so much for your time.
All right. Thank
Appreciate
you.
It, man. Appreciate it. A week from today, Pelicans will kick off, or tip off, rather, the NBA preseason. Regular season openers Wednesday, October 20th, right here against the 76ers. We'll step aside, quick break. Hour three is here. That's how fast it went. 28-13, Saints beat the Pats. We'll touch on that. We'll touch on, obviously, everything else that's been talked about this morning here at Pelicans Media Days. We're live at the Smoothie King Center on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.